My guest at this time is Dr. Oz Guinness, one of the most renowned voices on religion and culture in modern times. He's the author of many books, the latest of which is entitled A Free People's Suicide, Sustainable Freedom, and the American Future. And Dr. Guinness, it's a great pleasure to have you with us. Thank you.
My pleasure to be with you.
Well, you say right off in this book that it's one thing to win freedom, and that's oftentimes not an easy feat, but the United States obviously achieved that. The next challenge, of course, is to sustain that freedom. And you believe that that freedom that we've earned and sustained for over two centuries is in pretty grave danger. Explain why.
Well, I not only think you have to win freedom, that was the revolution, but to order freedom, and that was the Constitution. But the framers were aware of that third task, which is sustaining freedom, which, of course, isn't the work of a few years or a few decades. It's the work of centuries. And that's the challenge today, because the American experiment hasn't been going that long, certainly as a superpower. But the trouble is the framers were brilliant in daring in thinking you could sustain freedom forever. But modern Americans, either through neglect, sometimes through opposition, have abandoned their system.
And it seems as though the founders were aware that this could happen. I know of quotes, I believe, from John Adams and elsewhere that suggest that most democracies or attempts at democracies or republics in the past only lasted about a couple of centuries. So according to his timetable, we're sort of in overtime here, or at least borrowed time. What have you seen over the last decades to suggest that sustaining this freedom is becoming a bigger and bigger challenge?
Well, above all, that we've abandoned their system. They didn't give it a name. Tocqueville calls it the habits of the heart, as is well known. I call it the golden triangle of freedom. And you can find it in all the framers from one end to the other. The three legs of the triangle are this. The first leg, freedom requires virtue. As John Adams says, only a virtuous people are capable of freedom. And that meant the citizens as well as the leaders. The second leg of the triangle, virtue requires faith of some sort, because only faith would give enough inspiration and content and sanction for there to be strong virtue. And the third leg of the triangle, faith of any sort requires freedom. And as you know, the most daring part of the American experiment is the First Amendment that made religion entirely voluntary and non-established. But you can see all three legs of that triangle have either been dismissed or opposed today. So modern American freedom is quite different.
And so why do you think, given what we knew about previous countries and about those warnings by Tocqueville, Adams, and others, that we've still ended up on this same path that they warned us about?
Well, you go back to Cicero or Polybius or the founders' readings, and they warned that the greatest way of undermining freedom was when nations were powerful and prosperous. And in such periods, they just tend to forget and take things for granted. And you can see we've just been extraordinary periods of power and prosperity. Take the 80s or 89 when the Soviet Union fell, and you had a lot of breastbeating about America being the greatest power since Rome and so on. But since then, there's been an extraordinary lack of the analysis of the real problems underlying this country. So I'm afraid Americans have forgotten, as has happened before, and so their freedoms are being undermined.
So when you look at the decline in virtue, as you've termed it, as you look at, obviously, our debt, and a lot of people believe that once you allow people to essentially vote themselves as much money as possible, that is a major hindrance on a democracy and a country like ours as well. Do you believe we're past the point of no return?
I don't. I know some people who do. I was on Capitol Hill a few weeks ago, and a congressman said to me my book was too optimistic, and he thought America didn't have 5 years before irreversible decline set in. I think with leadership and with a return to American first principles, we're at an open moment where there still could be restoration. So all is not lost. But where is that leadership? And where are those who really understand the first principles of the American experiment? There's an extraordinary ignorance in the country today.
What has to happen in those 5 years to prevent the irreversible decline?
Well, I mentioned leadership. One of the very practical things that has to happen with that leadership is a restoration of civic education. It's no secret that since the 1960s, civic education has virtually disappeared from the American schools. So young Americans are not brought up to know what are the responsibilities of American citizenship. It was always understood in the past that in a in a free society, everybody is born free, but not everyone's worthy of freedom. They have to be educated for liberty, liberal education or civic education, but it hardly happens now. And that's just one area where there needs to be restoration, and there could be.
What will you be looking for in terms of signs that steps are being taken in that direction? Will it be curriculum in schools? Will it be expressed virtue by our leaders in a way that once again extols the greatness of America? Is there something that will happen that will be almost like a clarion call, or will it be more subtle?
One of the comments on one of the recent conventions, Greg, was that it was more Pat Boone than Winston Churchill. And having been born under Churchill and grown up under him as a boy, you always had an incredible realism in his speeches, but an amazing sense of history and an analysis of where the nation was at any particular moment. So I would love to see in the annual State of the Union address leadership that was prepared to face where America is, not just the economic crisis, and not just rehearsing past greatness as a way it would always continue and so on.
Do you see leaders out there at present or on the horizon that give you optimism?
I say with great sadness, no. For the last 10 years, I've been in business leadership circles or in universities or sometimes in churches, and I've asked people, who for you is the leader that stands above the fray and articulates the first things of the American experiment well? And nobody has said anybody. And I think leadership is the crying need today. Of course, as the framers would put it, you have to have the spirit of liberty, not only in leaders, you have to have it in citizens. And the problem seen at many levels, but I think the breakthrough will come from strong leadership.
We're talking with Oz Guinness. The book is A Free People's Suicide. And, sir, you've talked about the need for leaders to step forward to articulate what makes America great and remind us of what we have in common and bring us back to that period of greatness that we've had. We've also, of course, when you talk about virtue and America's spiritual heritage, there is an almost instant response of negativity when you invoke the name of God, when you bring in cultural values now. So how much does that complicate the effort?
Enormously. So you just take, say, John Adams, only a virtuous people are capable of freedom. Part of what he said we needed was character in leadership. So I remember when President Clinton was impeached, many of the scholars wrote a letter to the New York Times saying, character in a president didn't matter. What mattered was competence. Now, that's a huge argument you can have, but you only need to look at the story of the presidency itself. Take someone like Richard Nixon, who actually had a word CQ, character quotient, not just IQ, CQ. But his administration was brought down by his lack of character, his own paranoia, and Nixon's vanity, and Alexander Haig's hubris, and things like this. And you can see that character matters enormously. And I think the framers were right, and many modern people who dismiss the framers are not only wrong, but thoroughly foolish and naive.
And so tell us once again why you believe that this can be turned around in 5 years. It sounds like the deck is pretty well stacked against us.
Well, unless there is leadership that addresses it. But remember, the framers talked of restoration. So George Mason talked about the need for a frequent recurrence to fundamental first principles. Well, Thomas Jefferson, much more liberal, talked about the need for a revolution every 20 years. In other words, every generation has to buy into it all over again. And that's what we need in our generation. So I look at, say, the millennial generation, and there's enormous frustration with political leadership, cynicism about politics. But if there was something articulated in which they could believe, you could see a restoration. It's not too late, but the principles are there. I don't believe there's anything that America faces today that could not be resolved by a return to the best of the American first principles, if there were leadership.
Well, it's certainly something to strive towards, and we'll see if those leaders emerge. Dr. Guinness, thank you very much for your time today.
My privilege, Greg. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Dr. Oz Guinness is the author of more than 25 books. His latest is A Free People's Suicide. He's one of the most prominent voices on religion and culture today. I'm Greg Koremus of Radio America, reporting for WND.com.